What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Don't forget, coming up in the final hour, in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll hear a little bit of Chase's interview with Tom Glavine. A little game night, Facebook Live, Friday evening, and a lot of you were able to catch that. For those who did not, we're going to play a good 20 minutes of that interview, and Tom Glavine was an excellent interview, and you'll hear that coming up at 1 o'clock. Right now we talk to Adam Alexander, Fox, NASCAR on Fox, and NASCAR is back. Darlington yesterday, a lot of you are watching, including us. What would it look like? How would they pull it off? Kevin Harvick gets the win, and I just admitted, Adam, at the end of last hour, I didn't really, you know, yeah, it was, some of the stuff was kind of weird to see, but overall, it didn't affect, you know, how I viewed the product.
No, I got to admit, once we got racing, it really felt pretty much normal to me, and you notice some of the subtle changes, and certainly there were some things that were different, but top to bottom, I think it felt like once things got rolling, it was just a normal Sunday afternoon, and you couldn't help but notice when they went to wide shots or maybe an aerial, there was no one in the stands. But let's face it, we've had rainouts before where you push the race to a Monday and you have limited fans because of a day carryover. And so that's not the craziest thing. I mean, you never see them completely empty in the grandstands like what we saw yesterday, but we've certainly seen events because of weather or whatever it might be with a lean crowd. So I think even adjusting your vision to that wasn't the craziest thing. I think probably the moment that took me back the most that was totally different is when Regan Smith interviewed Kevin Harvick after he won there at the start-finish line on the front straightaway. And Kevin kind of got a bit emotional reacting to the fact that there were no fans there. That was the one time to me that it was apparently different than what we would see at a normal race day.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That was definitely weird. And then the shot of, you know, in Victory Lane, you know, he gets up on his, you know, door and he's got a mask on and he raises his hands up in the air and there's nobody else around the car, no one else around him. That is weird to see. And you're right, it was, I guess, weird that he got caught up in that moment. But overall, it was really good. But that was definitely different. How about just the whole dynamics of trying to pull this off from a broadcast standpoint? You've got Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon and, you know, in Charlotte calling the race. You got Regan Smith as the pit reporter with a mask. As you just mentioned, you know, the long mic, you know, that was put out there for Kevin Harvick to do that interview and some of the other interviews. I think Alex Bowman we saw. Just, you know, it's a little bit different, but overall, the logistics, do you think, you know, how tough was it to, I guess, pull all this off?
Well, I think when you look at what TV's been doing in recent years and the direction that it's gone from a production standpoint, we've gotten very innovative in the ways we put on shows, some of that financially based, some of it just overall new thought process, new approach, and growing with the industry. And when I think about some of the properties that Fox has had, and in particular the World Cup, where you've got broadcasters and production staffs in various cities, various countries, when you're talking about something like the World Cup, you figure out really quickly how to make different circumstances work. And I think it's all those experiences that probably laid the foundation for Fox to pull off as seamlessly as they did yesterday's show. We had a group of production people in Los Angeles. We certainly had a support staff, and our producer, Barry Landis, was here in our Charlotte studio with Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon and Larry McReynolds. And then Artie Kempner, our lead director, and a number of other production folks were at the racetrack in Darlington, obviously running cameras, and that's where our main production truck was. And so you would think it's impossible to put three different crews in three different locations and make it all work, But we're all just a headset away anyway. We've become so accustomed to communicating that way, whether you're a tape producer, a replay producer, someone in graphics, producer, director, or one of the on-air folks themselves, you're just pushing a button to talk to somebody. And you just get so used to that that I think even though we were in different locations, it seems crazy from 10,000 feet, but once it all comes together and you start executing the show, it starts feeling a little more natural. I don't want to demean anything that was done because I think everybody did an incredible job of putting the show on the air, but I think a lot of that speaks to the experience we had of doing things like this in the past.
How about just the product for the drivers? Do you think it changed anything in your mind? I mean, Kevin Harvick won. Like I said, Bowman was your runner-up. Kurt Busch finished third. Just the product on the track. They've got limited, right? There was no practice or no qualifying. They basically get out, get in the car, and they went racing yesterday. Did you feel any different? And they've been off for a long time. Did you feel that the product looked any different?
Well, I just felt like what we saw yesterday was a tremendous testament to the drivers and teams because you touched on everything there in regard to the limitations we had as far as practice and qualifying and opportunities to set up the car and the long break, not just for the drivers, but all those pit crew members that had to go over the wall and service the vehicles a number of times. And at the end of the day, you had 10 cautions. And when you break that down, three of those were either stage end or that competition caution. You had a couple of other minor spins, tire issues, whatever. There were few. I will say there were a few what I would call mistakes by drivers and teams. And when you consider what went into yesterday, the long break, and just the overall adversities that these teams faced, I just think it goes back to there are a bunch of professionals, and maybe yesterday there was a heightened awareness, a centralized focus because you hadn't done it in a while, and so you made sure and checked every box mentally before you got in the race car or you went over the wall. But I just felt like top to bottom, everybody did a really nice job of executing under those circumstances.
We're talking to Adam Alexander from Fox NASCAR. He, of course, host of Race Hub, and you'll hear him on the Xfinity Series broadcast tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Central, on FS1. Adam, I am curious, going back to Regan being on pit road and the decision to only send one pit road reporter, but how much of a discussion that you know about went into, okay, when he's on camera, he'll still have the mask? Because we've seen in some instances with broadcasts that when they're not on camera, they're wearing a mask, but they take it off. Was that a NASCAR decision? Was that a Fox decision? Or do you even have an answer to that?
I'm not sure that there was any negotiation with that. It's my understanding that NASCAR made it pretty well known that their protocol was going to be you have to have a mask on. Doesn't matter what role you play. Doesn't matter what your level of social distancing is. If you're going to be a participant, you need to wear a mask. And I think in all the conference calls I've been a part of, whether it was a joint call between Fox and NASCAR or it was just something on the TV network side, the one thing that we have emphasized is, number one, safety is the utmost top of the list as far as what we're going to do from an execution standpoint. And then the other thing is we're going to follow all rules. There is no special treatment. There is no jumping to the front of the line. There is no, but I'm TV. We are all going to play by the same rules. And so I think probably that was just an optics thing. That's what everybody else is doing. That's what we need to do. And certainly Regan was comfortable, playing by those rules. And so I think that's probably what it was. We just wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same page and doing business the same way. And that's the way it landed. And, I know there was some stuff on social media and not that you could put any stock in that because everybody's going to have their opinion. And certainly they don't have a hard time voicing it. But I thought what we saw yesterday was probably exactly what it needed to be from a uniformity standpoint and just an overall accommodation standpoint in regard to safety.
What are some notes that maybe you took as a lap-by-lap announcer for the Xfinity Series? Have you talked to Mike Joy at all about some things that he experienced that you can use for tomorrow night's broadcast?
I haven't. I mean, I'm familiar with the setup. that we'll be using to kind of create our booths scenario that Mike and Jeff used yesterday and what we'll use tomorrow night. It'll be Clint Boyer, Michael Waltrip, and myself calling the Xfinity race. I think really I've done these races from the studio before, so I have a little bit of experience. I've not done it in the exact same setup that they used yesterday, but once you're there, everything is pretty much the same. So Mike and I have not talked, but I feel very comfortable in what the setup will be and how we'll execute it. And I think in many ways it puts you more on a level playing field with the viewer at home. Sometimes I feel like when you're at the track, you get to watching out the window, you get distracted by things in and around the racetrack that maybe take your focus away from the TV monitor, and that's what the people at home are watching and what you should be talking about. And sometimes maybe you're not totally on the same page with the viewer at home. I think by being in the studio and working off of that monitor, even though we'll have additional monitors and some other tools that we can use to enhance our coverage and tell the story of the race, I do think that you're much more in tune with the viewer when you're in the studio. There are advantages and disadvantages, certainly, but I think this format is one that is very conducive to putting on a good show.
Lost in some of this, Adam, another big story, the return of Matt Kenseth as he takes over the 42 Chip Ganassi Racing Chevy, finishes 10th, and Ryan Newman in his first race since his horrific crash at Daytona, where we didn't know what to expect when that crash happened. But let's start with Newman, of just how awesome it was to see him back in a race car. And he had a pretty good run going until the end of the race, had a little bit of a problem, but overall it seemed like Newman hadn't missed a beat.
Well, and I think that's what we expected out of Ryan Newman. That's just the way he does business, right? I mean, he's an old school racer, and he's always in that race shape, and you just put him in a car and let him go. And I think that what I saw yesterday out of Newman didn't surprise me at all, and I wouldn't have been surprised if he finished up there in the top 10. I just think Newman is a pro. He's always been able to adapt. He's a throwback. Darlington's a track that suits his driving style quite well, and it was certainly great to see him back in racing after that short time away. You know, he ends up only missing three events, and that's big for him as you start to look down the road with him getting the championship waiver and an opportunity to get back in a points position, maybe to make the playoffs, but certainly maybe even win a race. So I was glad to see Ryan back, and what he did yesterday really didn't surprise me at all. I didn't know what to expect out of Matt Kenseth, and I can't imagine being away as long as he was, coming back and just having no experience whatsoever with his team or the car and having to jump in and go racing at Darlington. I thought what he did was incredible. And certainly when you look at the results, you see all those Chevys up there. His teammate Kurt Busch had a great run. So it stands to reason he probably had a good car and was going to be in position to be successful. But a top 10 against the competition he was racing against, and the disadvantages that were thrown his way just by not having experience recently, I think it speaks to what a pro he is, and certainly someday we know that Matt's going to be in the Hall of Fame as a former champion. It was great to see both those guys back on track.
And then Kevin Harvick gets his 50th career win, passes Tony Stewart. And, you know, Harvick, I like the start of his season, obviously the points leader, but gets his first win. It seems like Stuart Haas Racing and Kevin Harvick, at least in the early part of the season, are back to maybe where they were a couple of years ago, and could be a contender for sure for this championship.
Harvick, the only driver to finish top 10 in every race this year, and yesterday, as you said, puts a big exclamation point on it with his 50th career victory, and I think this is a sign of things to come maybe as we return to racing. Everyone wondered who would have the advantage, and I think Kevin in many ways does, not just because he's good at Darlington, and that's where we'll go for these first two races. But I think when you look at the depth of that race team, the chemistry between he and his crew chief, Rodney Childers, they're both great veterans. I think Kevin is so strong mentally. And to me, mental toughness is going to be a big hurdle to climb for a lot of these drivers as we run, you know, four races in the next 11 days, starting with yesterday's race at Darlington. I think it's five races in 15 or 16 days, something like that. When you loop Bristol in, that's now been added to the schedule that weekend following the Coke 600, you have to be able to adjust night in and night out mentally. And I just think Kevin has always been one of the strongest drivers on the mental side. And forget the fact that he's with a great race team and has a great race car. I just think this format sets up really good for him. And the fast race car and all that is just a bonus. So when all the worlds collide, it equals big-time success, I think, for Kevin Harvick. And the fact that he announced earlier this year he's not going anywhere, he's going to continue racing for many years to come, that should concern the competition because he appears just to be getting better and better as time goes on.
No doubt about it. And the sport is back, and I bet they got a lot of new eyeballs on the product starting yesterday, and that'll continue again tomorrow night with you on the call, and then the Cup Series will be right back at it again on Wednesday night. So a lot of racing to come. Adam, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it.
Always great to be with you. I appreciate you having me on. You guys have a good day.
You do the same. That is Adam Alexander, NASCAR on Fox, and he will indeed be in the booth. You just heard Clint Bowyer, he's Adam Alexander. Who else would he say was a part of that team, Chase?
Mikey Waltrip.
That's right. They will be covering the Xfinity race at Darlington starting at 7 o'clock our time tomorrow night on FS1. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.